Blog Talk Radio.
One, two, three, ho!
Hey, everybody.
It must be Saturday night again around here, and time for yet another night with Daddy G. This is Gary Moore, along with Starzan and Curly and George and Groucho and whoever else I may be able to pull out of my sleeve or elsewhere. E-cocktails are ready. The chocolate fountain is ready. The only things missing have been you, so come on in and get ready for yet another night with Daddy G. Yeah.
Well, who's on first?
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The guy playing first base.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who is on first?
What are you asking me for? I'm asking you.
This is a gala day for you.
Well, a gala day is enough for me. I don't think I can handle anymore.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
Thanks.
These two bands are bad.
Everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's another night in the grotto. It's Saturday night, time for Daddy G. Welcome, everybody. As everybody comes showing up, the party, the gang is all here, and the rest of them are showing up. This is cool. Yeah, but before we start things, I think I'm going to just play a couple of music files just to warm things up, kind of take things to altitude. I've got some gems prepared for later on in the show. But I can't do that right now. You know, I got to wait for the rest of the gang to show up because they're all fashionably late, and a lot of them are. Anyway, I thought I'd play a little bit from the gals from Norway just because I love it and because we're in the grotto and it's time to play. My darling, play.
Introduction to a song ever. Do you think we can manage?
Cats and Jammer, the ladies from Norway, a couple of them, there's a bifecta. Okay, getting back to Alice Francis. She needs room for St. James. She needs room for St. James's balls. Francis, St. James Ballroom. I had a pair of pants like that once that were built like a cheap hotel. No ballroom. Oh, yeah.
Mr. Sewell, Mr. Robert Sewell.
Well, now, suppose you became a famous actress and then you met somebody you liked and got married. Would you be willing to quit acting and be a housewife and a mother?
Well, I think if you keep your feet on the ground, you can combine both. That's what I would like to do.
Well, if you keep your feet on the ground, you'll never be a mother.
If you want a real home to suit your needs, you should go to an architect, because behind every real home, there's an architect.
Times have certainly changed since I was a lad. Certainly wasn't what you'd find behind every home. in a chicken coop, that's what you were. Fooled you, didn't I? You ought to be ashamed of yourself, all of you.
When I woke up, there was the nurse taking care of me.
What's the matter? Couldn't the nurse take care of herself?
You bet she could, but I found it out too late.
We took some pictures of the native girls, but they weren't developed. But we're going back again in a couple of weeks.
About 20 girls that ride Johnson all day long.
Johnson must get an awful lot of mail, huh? Why do they ride Johnson? I happen to know Johnson. He can't even read. Besides that, he's a married man. Well, does Mrs. Johnson get wind of this?
No, but Johnson has all the necessary loops and swirls and straight lines.
If you think Johnson has them, you should see Mrs. Johnson.
You mean your girl is 400 miles away and you turn down a date with probably the most beautiful girl in America who is standing right next to you?
I have to, I guess. No choice.
You know, that's like living in Las Vegas and going all the way to Cedar Rapids just to play bingo in a church bazaar.
Okay, I got another Daddy G gem. Last week we played a bit of a George Burns and Allen with Artie Shaw as the band leader, and I found another one, and this one's a much cleaner, much better audio copy, so it still sounds like radio, but it sounds like it might be tuned in a little better. Different episode, same year, 1940, Artie Shaw. This one's kind of cute. Give this a listen, and listen to Gracie, man. This is totally classic Gracie Allen, George Burns, and it's back when they were smart. Here we go.
From Hollywood, the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show for Hormel and Spam. Crazy people. Spam, Rebop, Boom, Spam. George Burns and Gracie Allen. On the show, ran his orchestra. But singingly with a smoothie tree. Last but not least, and with Bud Heaton. It's time for Burns and Allen at your house. And looky, here's an answer to the question, how do you cook an egg? With Spam. Just open a can of Spam, slice and fry quickly in a hot pan, and serve with egg sunny side up. Those juicy, golden brown, sizzling hot slices of fried Spam make an egg taste better than ever. Try Spam and eggs for breakfast. Then try the other recipes on the label and discover that cold or hot, Spam hits the spot. And here they are, the stars of our Spam family, George and Gracie.
Thank you very much.
Oh, but wait, George. I saw you and Gracie at the El Capitan Theater last week in Charlo's Review, and you're really swell.
Thanks, Bud. And Gracie, wasn't Jack Benny a wonderful master of ceremonies?
Yes, he's certainly smart looking on the stage.
Well, of course, gray hair makes a man look distinguished.
Yes. Of course, he's a little more distinguished looking in the back, though, than he is in the front, isn't he?
Yeah, she's kind of losing it a little bit.
Yes.
Well, anyway, Gracie, I was on the stage with you. How did I look?
When do you mean?
When I was telling all those jokes.
Oh, well, you must have looked all right. Nobody laughed at you.
Of course, I may not be as handsome as Jack Benny. I say I may not be as handsome as Jack Benny.
Well, George, who's arguing with you?
That's what I get for letting that makeup man put on my lips with a hairbrush.
But, George, I thought your makeup looked swell, and the show was great, but I was disappointed in one little thing.
What was that, Bud?
Well, I can't understand how you could come out on the stage time and time again and not once mention Spam.
But, Bud, it was impossible. You see, I wasn't on the radio. I was on the stage.
Well, I could understand you're not mentioning something like Korfmeyer's acidophilus milk, but spam is just a small word. Look, spam. See, did that take long?
Well, I'm sorry, Bud, but I just couldn't mention it.
Well, you should have.
Well, anyway, Gracie...
What's more, your makeup looked atrocious.
Now he's mad. How do you like that, Bud? And just a moment ago, he complimented me.
I don't believe his compliments about your makeup. Underneath that, there's something very peculiar.
Look, Gracie, I just assume you're on Bud's side.
Well, George, I think you like this. I heard one of the chorus girls backstage say that you look just like that great movie act, you
really?
Know.
One of the chorus girls?
No, what's his name now? You know, the fellow who runs after all the women. March. That's it, March.
Frederick March?
No, Hoppo.
Hoppo March. One of the March brothers.
Yes.
Gracie, how can you figure out so many wrong answers to so many right questions?
I stay up late.
You know, someday I'll figure out something that you won't have a silly answer to. Then what do? Say, what'll we both do?
Oh, by the way, Gracie, I saw George in the theater yesterday, but he didn't see me.
Yeah, I know. He told me.
Well, I did not. And by the way, Artie, how did you like me?
Oh, you were swell, Pussy. Especially with those Dolores Del Rio lips.
Well, never mind how I look. How did I sound?
How did you sound? George, I'd like to say right here and now that you gave the finest performance I ever saw.
Really, Artie?
Yep, I'd like to say it, but I can't.
Well, from you, that's practically a compliment. I'll leave it to Gracie. Gracie, who is the nicest among the men?
Me.
I meant among the men.
Well, that's where I was.
Gracie, how is it that other people can have a simple conversation without making it that simple?
You could have at least mentioned it during the intermission.
Mention what?
Spam.
Oh, we're back to that again, are we? All I did was go on the stage one week, and look at what's happened.
Yo también fui ahí a la función al Capitán Teatro. Estaba muy bonito. Me gustó mucho cómo actuaste tú allá en el... Muy bonito.
What is it, Señor Lee?
Señor Burns, I saw you on the stage, and you were very witty. You made some very flop remarks.
It isn't flop, it's flip.
Flop.
Flip.
Flop. Flip. What are we, acrobats?
Oh, quiet. Well, Artie, what are you going to play tonight?
Stardust.
You know, Artie, I love to listen to you play. I think you're the greatest clarinet player in the world. Oh, I'd give anything if I could play that instrument. Is it hard?
No, nothing to it, Gracie. Here, I'll show you. You pucker up your lips like this.
Yeah.
The upper lip and the lower lip.
Yeah.
Then you bring both lips together until your mouth is puckered like this. See?
Oh. Oh, that's wonderful, Artie. But why waste it on a clarinet?
Artie, will you please take it? Well, Artie, that was grand. You know, I love Stardust. Well, Artie, what do you think of my voice?
Bum, 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 bum.
Jealous, that's all. Jealous
myself. George, you know that beautiful white dress I wore on the stage last week?
At the El Capitan?
Yes. Well, I got some brown makeup on the collar and it worried me so.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it. It's bound to come off. Was it Max Factor's?
No, Charles Boyer.
How did Charles Boyer's makeup happen to get on your color?
Well, Herbert Marshall was busy.
See what you mean. Well, all you had to do was send the dress to the cleaners.
Oh, not me. I'm too smart for that. I went out and bought 10 cents worth of gasoline to clean my dress, and wait till you see it. It's beautiful.
The dress or the gasoline?
The car I bought. It's long.
You bought a car?
Well, I had to have something to take the gasoline home in.
So, you bought a new car. You could have taken it home in an old can, you know.
Yeah, but I didn't know where you had it parked.
Well, my car doesn't happen to be an old can. I want you to know it's streamlined. It has chrome wheels, chrome radiator, chrome bumpers.
That's right, George. I saw it, and it's plenty chromey.
Well, I like it.
At least you could have mentioned it during Jack Benny's violin solo.
Enough of that. No matter what I say or do, I get into hot water.
Oh, I was in hot water last night.
What happened?
Nothing. I was just taking a bath.
Well, congratulations, and let's talk about something else.
All right, let's talk about my dress. You know that beautiful white dress?
Gracie,
I got the
Gracie,
makeup.
You've already told me about that dress, and let's forget the dress. I never liked that dress anyway.
Skippy likes it.
Skippy? Who's Skippy?
Oh, he's the man who's been driving me home from the theater. I met him at the Coconut Grove next week.
Next week?
Oh, pardon me, I'm ahead of my story.
Oh. You mean last week?
Yes.
Well, how did you meet him?
Well, I was at the Coconut Grove, and he was sitting at a table all by himself, and I walked by and dropped my handkerchief, and he heard it fall and said, how do you do? And I said, how do you
do? Just a second. How can anybody hear a handkerchief fall?
I had it wrapped around the glass.
Well, didn't that break the glass?
No, but it broke the ice, if you know what I mean.
I think I know what you mean, yes.
Well, anyway, the music started to play, and he said, do you like La Conga? And I said, well, anything you're eating is good enough for me. So he ordered some La Conga, and
we
sat
and ate. That sounds like a very smart kid, ordering a dish of La Conga, huh?
Well, what's wrong with that? There's an hour in this month.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, that reminds me, Judge. I've got to call Skippy on the phone and tell him I'll be a little late picking him up. You see, I'm having a few minor changes made on my new car.
Oh, you're making a few changes?
Yes. I put the headlights in the rumble seat, and then I put the radiator where the taillight was.
Smart, yes.
And I put the motor where the gas tank used to be, and the steering wheel is right over the license plate.
Gracie,
and then I'm...
Gracie, look. What did you do all those things for?
Well, in case some crazy dope asks me if I got a car like that, I got one.
Well, for a minute, I didn't think you had a reason.
Well, George, I'll see you later. I've got to go out and call Skippy. So, see, what's his number? Oh, yes. Gladstone 1131.
Windshield wiper on the inside.
George.
Yes.
George, maybe she's overworked. Maybe she's suffering from a pancreatic ganglia of the hypocatal of the cerebellum.
Artie.
Can I try that over again?
Artie, what does that mean?
Well, what am I, a quiz kid?
Artie, this is nothing to kid about. I'm worried about Gracie. I wonder what could have happened to her.
Perdone me un momento. Señor Vern, in Hollywood, anything can happen. I once walked down Hollywood Boulevard, and something bit me, and for 5 days, I was in a coma.
It's not coma, it's coma. A coma is a little thing with a tail.
That's what bit me.
Well, it's too bad you recovered. still can't figure this thing out.
I can. It's very simple, George.
Really, Bud?
Sure, you could have mentioned it during the overture.
All right, so I didn't mention Spam. Here's a whip. Beat me, beat me.
Daddy, 8 to the bar.
Oh, quiet. Look, I've got to do something to help Gracie.
Well, Skippy wasn't in, but I told the operator to keep trying and call me back here.
Well, look, Gracie, just take it easy. There's nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about? There's plenty to worry about. That Skippy is kind of crazy. He does crazy things.
He does crazy things? What kind of a fella is the Skippy?
Well, he's a short, thin fellow, and he weighs 250 pounds.
If he's short and thin, how can he weigh 250 pounds?
I told you he was crazy.
Look, Artie, we've just got to do something.
Oh, that must be Skippy. Hello?
Sorry, Gladstone 1131 is still busy.
Well, keep trying it, please.
Well, now, don't worry, Gracie. Everything will be all right.
Oh,
just relax.
I just hope so, because Skippy is so much fun. The other day, we went down to the beach, and we threw pebbles in the water and gathered seashells in his toupee.
Gathered seashells in his toupee?
Yes.
But Skippy must have a great head.
Sure, that's where he shines.
Oh, well, let's forget Skippy.
Oh, I must tell you that...
I forgot everything.
He's really a card. While we were down at the beach, he buried his head in the sand, and I laughed and laughed and laughed for hours.
He buried his head in the sand?
Yes.
Well, what's so funny about that?
Well, 2 hours later, when I left him, he was still looking for it.
Now the Smoothies, Bab, Charlie, and Little will sing Rhythm on the River. Sing it.
When you hear a real hip cat, take the chorus in B flat. It's the rhythm on the river. You know what that means. He comes from New Orleans. When you hear a drummer ride and a rim shot breaks the high, it's the rhythm on the river. Can't mistake that beat. He comes from Mason Street. How do you like bugle call rag? Played as a waltz on a Dixieland shag. I'll pick the words out of your mouth. Play the same as a sound in New York or any town. When a band swings out or down, it's the rhythm on the river, not the Hudson bud, just Mississippi mud. When those diamond kids take off the skits, it's killer. Oh, ho, they're rock and roll, rhythms in their souls. From gay Broadway to Mexico, feel the beat of the rhythm of the rhythm of the river. When the cats give out, it makes you quiver. Hep, hep, we feel it, let's get with the rhythm. Hep, hep, the song, let's ride along with them. Say there, hey, that's all you in the groove.
I dig you, Jackson, and I'm ready, too.
When you hear the drums start to ride, and the rim shot breaks the hive, it's the rhythm on the river. Can't mistake that beat. How do you like
bugle call rag?
How do you like
Dixieland shag?
Play the small.
No, a mean drag.
Play the same as the south. In New York or any town. The land swings out low down. It's the rhythm on the river, not the Hudson bud. It's street to beat, to beat on the Mississippi mud. It's street to beat on the Mississippi mud. Hear that shuffle, hear that scuffle. Rhythm on the river.
Just have to meet Skippy.
Well, I'll be glad to, Gracie, but some other time.
Well,
just
you should have been at the beach with us yesterday. We swam all afternoon and we only moved 4 feet.
You only moved 4 feet?
That's all the feet we had.
Well, I don't know. I've been with you for years, but this is the first time you've really got me worried.
Mr. Burns, I know I'm only the sound man, but I think I may be able to help you solve Miss Allen's problem with a scientific test. For years at Harvard, I studied psychiatry under that famous mind specialist, Professor Alvin W. Thorndike.
Thorndike?
ABBSMA PhD.
Well, that's not a funny way to spell Thorndike.
Gracie, he's using pig Latin.
Oh.
Look, sound man, try your test on Bud and show Gracie what you mean.
Don't talk to me. I'm mad at you.
Now, please, Bud.
Well,
Mr. Heaston, I'd like to give you a simple test. This is called the free association of ideas. Now, when I say cold, what do you unconsciously think of?
Hot.
That's right. Now, what made you think of that?
Spam.
Spam?
Yes, because cold or hot, it hits the spot. See, George, how easy it is to get in?
But it fits here. Besides, you've had more experience than I have. This is your 269th broadcast for Spam.
269th broadcast for Spam?
That's right.
So that's why you feel so chip a bud.
Sure, Gracie. You see, when I started, very few people knew about Spam. Hormel had found a new combination of meats, a more delicious way to season it, and a handier package to put it in. Spam was something new and different. Nobody else had ever even tried to make anything like Spam. And now there are more than 60 imitations of it.
Oh, so that's what makes you feel good. You like imitations.
No, Gracie, it hurts me when I see an imitation. When you have more than 60 imitations, you know there must be all sorts of products and all sorts of prices among them. I'm afraid somebody will be fooled.
Oh, I get it. You feel good tonight because you like to see people get fooled.
Oh, Gracie, I feel good tonight because apparently people aren't letting themselves be fooled. I just found out today that in the last 6 months, the housewives of America bought more Spam than they did all the other 60 brands combined. And that proved women aren't being fooled by low prices, special premiums, or by packages that look a good deal like Spam, or by names that seem like Spam. I feel good tonight, Gracie, because now I know women can really tell the difference.
Oh, and you feel good, too, because we're going to let you tell us. What is the difference?
Well, Gracie, when Spam first came out, people hadn't learned whether it was beef or pork or cheese or fish, so we labeled it all pork product. When someone else came out with some other product and called it all pork, too, we began to realize that all pork takes in a lot of territory and that we could make a lot cheaper product if we used just any kind of pork. Spam, Gracie, is a combination of pork shoulder meat and ham meat. Nothing else but those two. We use pork shoulder to make Spam a sweet and juicy meat. Then we put in the ham it takes to give it extra flavor and goodness that wouldn't be there without it. That is different than being just all pork. Spam shows on the label this sentence, pork shoulder meat with ham meat added. Look for it. Whenever the occasion calls for a delicious meat at your house, ask your food dealer for Spam. S-P-A-M.
Slice it, dice it, fry it, bake it, cold or hot. Spam hits the spot.
Now, Gracie, will you come here a minute? Look, this is what the sound man means. If he says black, you say white. If he says Edison, you say electricity. Uh-huh. Now we'll start again. Go ahead, sound man.
Power.
Tyrone.
No, Gracie, that's wrong again.
Miss Allen, I'm merely trying to find out your mental capacity.
Well, it isn't very much. I only drink to be sociable.
In order to reach a solution for your present dilemma, we must first go back to your childhood.
Oh, that'll be fun. I haven't been back there for years.
Look, Gracie, what he means is, did anything strange happen to you when you were very young?
Yes.
What?
I was born.
I know you were born.
Now, let's see. When was I born? Maybe it was Wednesday.
It couldn't be Friday.
No, I'm never home on Friday.
Sound man, are you sure those questions are right?
You'd never know from the answers.
Well, this is all beyond me. I wonder what could have happened to her.
Senor Burns, maybe when she was a baby, she climbed on top of the house and fell off the reef.
It isn't reef, it's roof.
Reef.
Roof.
Reef.
Roof, roof, roof.
Look, an Airedale.
Go ahead, Mr. Soundman. Continue with your test.
Mr. Burns, it's hopeless for me to try and continue this test alone. Perhaps Professor Thorndike can give me some advice as to a different method of questioning. I shall go out and phone him.
Well, this has really got me upset. Chrissy, how can you be so rattle-brained?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm just smart.
Look, this is really beginning to get me. I've been with you for years. Every year you get sillier and sillier. Why I stick by you, I can't understand. And what do I get out of it?
A fortune.
I do not. Besides, Gracie gets half of all the money we make. Don't you, Gracie?
$25 every week.
Well, I'm saving the rest for a rainy day.
Oh, so that's why you came to California.
Well, go. Your line is over.
Oh, that's Skippy. Quiet, everybody, now. Hello?
Blackstone 1131 is still busy.
Well, call me the minute they're through, operator. Can't imagine why Skippy is talking so long. Maybe it's hard for him to hang up, huh? On account of the phone is under the bed.
His phone is under the bed?
Yes. Well, you see, it's a Murphy bed, and he doesn't want Murphy to hear his conversation.
Look, Gracie, instead of spending all your
Mr.
time...
Mr. Burns, I have wonderful news. I spoke to Professor Thorndike, and he was so interested in the case that he's coming right over here.
I guess that's quite an honor, isn't
it? What an honor. You see, he'll watch Miss Allen's mind and see what makes it tick.
But suppose it doesn't tick?
No ticky, no watchy.
I hope Thorndike gets here before it's too late.
Oh, that must be Skippy. Hello?
Gladstone 1131 is still busy.
Well, keep trying, please.
Gracie, will you stop with those silly phone calls?
Can't imagine why Skippy's line is so busy. That's his private number, too.
Oh, there's Professor Thorndike now. Mr. Burns, would you mind opening the door?
Me open the door? But you're the sound man.
Please, Mr. Burns, just this once. Professor Thorndike must never know that I, the winner of the Harvard Scientific Research Scholarship, do that for a living.
Well, all right.
Come in.
Good evening, Elliot, my boy.
Good evening. Folks, this is Professor Thorndike, the famous psychiatrist.
Oh, glad to meet you, Professor. Pull up a brain and sit down.
Quiet, quiet.
Say, Professor, you're pretty.
You like men, I gather.
No, I like men, I gather.
So this is the patient.
You guessed it.
Professor, you see, she has strange mental quirks.
Miss Allen, do you have any inhibitions, phobias, or fixations?
No, but I can let you have a Chesterfield.
Well, Professor, how have you been?
Miss Allen, do you sleep well?
Well, no, no. Last night I couldn't sleep at all. All night long there was a fly on my nose.
Why didn't you brush the fly off?
What for? It wasn't dusty.
This is the strangest case I've ever seen. There's only one man in this country who can cope with this case.
And who do you mean, Professor?
I mean Dr. Hugo Friedlander, the world-famous psychologist.
Not the Dr. Friedlander who was honored by the Medical Society last week.
Yes, yes, he's the only one who can help us. I'll call him immediately. Operator. Operator. Get me Gladstone 1131.
Oh, that's Skippy. Well, tell him to bring his toupee and we'll gather some off seashells.
Well, that's all I want.
Folks, give your family Spam and eggs for breakfast. Fry slices of Spam quickly in a hot pan and serve with eggs sunny side up. The meaty flavor, the grand taste of juicy, tender fried Spam makes a hit with everybody. Try it tomorrow. Ask your food dealer for the original, the one and only Spam, the meat of many uses that outsells all the other 50 brands combined.
Thank you, Bud. Well, Gracie, say goodnight.
Oh, goodnight. Say, George, I didn't know Skippy was such a great scientist.
Well, sure. He once wrote a 50,000-word article on a man's spinal column.
Really? How did he get it in a typewriter?
Good night, folks. Good night.
Friends, we want to take this moment to remind you that in all parts of the country, community fund campaigns are underway, a most worthwhile cause, and one of the ways we can show that we're grateful Americans. Give generously to your local community chest. Join us again next week, same time, same station, for another Burns and Allen show brought to you by Hormel and Spam. Have you tried Hormel Chili Con Carne? You may think you don't like chili, but Chili Con Carne, the way Hormel makes it, is different, and everybody likes it. Double your money back if you don't like it. Try Hormel Chili Con Carne tomorrow. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Spam, not so much. That's Hormel Chili Con Carne, I'll take that. Anyway, there you go. Have a little Artie Shaw with your Spam. Now, let's hear a little something from Joss Stone.
Yeah. Ooh, ooh. of these days, and it won't be long. You're gonna look for me, but I'll be gone. I believe, yeah. Trying to make a fool out of me. And since you've been going round, baby, with your head so hard, I think I'm gonna have to use my pride. 'Cause I believe, yes I do now, I believe.
Stone, she believes it. Ah, yeah. I wonder what would happen if I mashed this button. Let's try and see what happens.
Ladies and gentlemen, your DJ for tonight has spent hours setting up his lights. He's spent ages performing sound checks, and he's refrained from touching the buffet. Yet. He's keeping reasonably sober and is prepared to play just about anything you care to ask for. Get ready for a very special night and party celebration.
I think we're going to start things off with a little southern rock and roll. What do you think? Little 38 special, never hurt anybody.
Cruising down the motorway, got my girl by my side. Both a little anxious,
Oh, we'll do a couple of them. Why not? I'm the DJ. I can do that. Plus, I'm a wild-eyed Southern boy, too. Oh, this love in this chat room. Let's let it flow. Little Elvin Bishop.
Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow.
Let it flow all around me.
Let it flow.
Let it flow up and down me.
Let it flow.
From my head down to my feet.
Let it flow.
Hey, baby, feeling good.
trees. Fish floating through the sea. Bees buzzing in the breeze. I got the music flowing all through me.
Southern rock and roll without ZZ Top.
Time.
And, of course, Joe Walsh.
Wake up, mama. Turn your lamp down low. Wake up, mama. Turn your lamp down low. You got no nerve, baby, to turn Uncle John from your door. I woke up this morning, had them sets for blue. Have them sets for blue. Well, I'm a dog in the corner, baby, and Grandma seemed to have them too.
Lafong, Carl Lafong, capital L, small a, capital F, small o, small n, small g, Lafong, Carl Lafong.
No, I don't know Carl Lafong, capital L, small a, capital F, small o, small n, small g. And if I did know Carl Lafong, I wouldn't admit it.
Because you do know, folks, living in this country, you're bound to know that every time you're exposed to advertising, you realize once again that America's leading industry, America's most profitable business, is still the manufacture, packaging, distribution, and marketing of bullshit. High quality, grade A, prime cut, pure American bullshit. And the sad part is that most people seem to have been indoctrinated to believe that bullshit only comes from certain places. Certain sources, advertising, politics, salesmen, not true. Bullshit is everywhere. Bullshit is rampant. Parents are full of shit, teachers are full of shit, clergymen are full of shit, and law enforcement people are full of shit. This entire country is completely full of shit, and always has been, from the Declaration of Independence to the Constitution to the Star-Spangled Banner, it's still nothing more than one big steaming pile of red, white, and blue all-American bullshit. Because think of how we started. Think of that. This country was founded by a group of slave owners who told us all men are created equal. Oh, yeah, all men, except for Indians and niggers and women, right? Always like to use that authentic American language. This was a small group of unelected white male landholding slave owners who also suggested their class be the only one allowed to vote. Now, that is what's known as being stunningly and embarrassingly full of shit. And I think Americans really show their ignorance when they say they want their politicians to be honest. What are these fucking cretins talking about? If honesty were suddenly introduced into American life, the whole system would collapse. No one would know what to do. Honesty would fuck this country up. And I think deep down, Americans know that. That's why they elected and re-elected Bill Clinton. That's why. Because the American people like their bullshit right out front where they can get a good, strong whiff of it. Clinton might be full of shit, but at least he lets you know it. Dole tried to hide it, didn't he? Dole kept saying, I'm a plain and honest man. Bullshit. People don't believe that. What did Clinton say? He said, hi, folks, I'm completely full of shit, and how do you like that? And the people said, you know something? At least he's honest. At least he's honest about being completely full of shit. It's just like the business world, same as business. Everybody knows by now, all businessmen are completely full of shit. Just the worst kind of low-life criminal cocksuckers you could ever want to run into. A fucking piece of shit businessman. And the proof of it is they don't even trust each other. They don't trust one another. When a businessman sits down to negotiate a deal, the first thing he does is to automatically assume that the other guy is a complete lying prick who's trying to fuck him out of his money. So he's got to do everything he can to fuck the other guy a little bit faster and a little bit harder. And he's got to do it with a big smile on his face. You know that big bullshit businessman smile? And if you're a customer, whoa, that's when you get the really big smile. Customer always gets that really big smile as the businessman carefully positions himself directly behind the customer and unzips his pants and proceeds to service the account. I'm servicing this account. This customer needs service. Now you know what they mean. Now you know what they mean when they say, we specialize in customer service. Whoever coined the phrase, let the buyer beware, was probably bleeding from the asshole. But that's business. That's business. But in the bullshit department, a businessman can't hold a candle to a clergyman. Because I got to tell you the truth, folks. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky, who watches everything you do, every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish, where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all powerful, all perfect, all knowing, and all wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars. They pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit.
Tell the truth. Don't be bullshitting, people. Like I say, there's enough bullshit as it is. There's enough bullshit as it is. In fact, there's just enough. Did you know that? There's just enough bullshit to hold things together in this country. Bullshit is the glue that binds us as a nation. Where would we be without our safe, familiar American bullshit? Land of the free, home of the brave, the American dream. All men are equal, justice is blind, the press is free, your vote counts. Business is honest, the good guys win, the police are on your side, God is watching you, your standard of living will never decline, and everything is going to be just fine. The official national bullshit story. I call it the American okey-doke. Every one of those items is provably untrue at one level or another, but we believe them because they're pounded into our heads from the time we're children. That's what they do with that kind of stuff. They put it in the heads of kids. They pound it in there because kids, they know kids are too young to be able to mount a sophisticated argument against these kind of ideas. And so kids, and up to a certain age, by the way, kids are going to believe everything a grown-up tells them, everything. So kids never learn to question things. Nobody questions things in this country anymore. Nobody questions things. Why? People are too fat and happy. People are way too fucking prosperous for their own good. Everyone's got a cell phone that'll make pancakes and rub their balls now, you know? So, nobody wants to rock the boat. And people just, gizmo, Americans have been silenced, bought off and silenced by gizmos and toys. And as a result, no one's ever learned to question things. No one questions things in this country anymore. No one questions things. Now, okay. You remember Barbara Bush? I call her the silver douchebag. You remember her? Barbara Bush. She is the mother of Governor George Bush. I call him Governor Bush because that's the only elected office he ever held legally in our country. Okay? George Bush, Governor Bush. I don't care where they hang his portrait. I don't care how big his library is. He'll always be Governor Bush. I don't even capitalize his name when I type it anymore. So she's the mother of Governor George Bush. She's also the wife of his father, George H.W. Bush, who did become president in the normal, legal, traditional manner. And when he did, she came along for the ride as first lady. And that's been the tradition up till now. A man has been elected and the woman has come along for the ride as the first lady. And usually, as in American life in general, the woman is condescended to, patronized, given something to do to keep her busy. A lot of times they give her a charity or a cause, something she can champion. Betty Ford was told to drink. Remember that? Yeah. Yeah, that was Betty Ford's assignment. Betty, you get drunk and get totally falling down, fucked up, shit-faced drunk, okay? You just get fucked up drunk, and we'll hose you down, baby. We'll hose you down. We'll put you in a facility. You'll get sober, and then we'll put your name in the facility. Liza Minnelli can get sober, and everything's going to be okay, right? That was her assignment. Barbara Bush's assignment was getting children to read. Remember that? Getting children to read. They figured she had had so much success with George. That she would be a natural to get children to read, which misses the point completely. Not important to get children to read. Children who want to read are going to read. Kids who want to learn to read are going to learn to read. Much more important to teach children to question what they read. Children should be taught to question everything. To question everything they read, everything they hear. Children should be taught to question authority. Parents never teach their children to question authority because parents are authority figures themselves and they don't want to undermine their own bullshit inside the household. So they stroke the kid, and the kid strokes them, and they all stroke each other, and they all grow up all fucked up, and they come to shows like this.
That's right, we have arrived. You wanted Zany, you got Zany. Little George Carlin followed up by the Dirty Honkers. Yeah, Hot Mess. Yeah. Jimmy Vaughn and Luann Barton. And, yeah, how about a little Pyrov Stalar? Booty swing. Swing that booty.
Here we go with a little Pyrov Stalar. Booty swing. So swing that booty.
I thought I said that already. For some more e-cocktails. Who needs some ice? Need some ice in your e-cocktails. Ice from Russia. Take five.
Russia, as true as her words were alive, sure as that look in her eyes, blue as the Central Peak sky. This time I've gotta fly. Yeah, I gotta fly. Don't you know I'm gonna fly?
Light. Now I'm blind. Can't see through.
there from tape 5, yeah, starting out with Ice from Russia and City Lights. Yeah, tape 5, you got to love them. They got it figured out. Okay, last call for E-Cocktails. Don't worry about cleaning things up. Starzan's got that. I want to thank you all for being with me tonight. And on a night like this, let's head on out of here, shall we? Yeah, let's go watch some Sven Gulli or maybe, I don't know, Uncle Milty or somebody. Thanks, guys, for being here. Have a safe weekend, and we'll see you next week. Chuck Shock. Guys, have a good night. We'll see y'all later.
Oh, he can be safe. I stop before he goes. Happening when you
kidding of imagine. My very first gig in Swiss to be so great. Thank you, guys. Will you guys sing it one more time with me? Thank you. Here we go. Did you ever dream? I have never dreamed a night like this.